This is Hash It Out with Jane
is a podcast that supports independent thought, personal responsibility, and social consciousness. Thank you for listening to Hash It Out with Jane. I'm your host, Jane Hash. This is the third and final part of my hilarious interview with Cheryl Green. Now, this is where our interview really starts to get fucked up and weird. If you hear any background noises, it's because Cheryl picked up her webcam so she could show me the... You'll see. I'll be right back after a message from our friends at Cryptido, self-defense for the disabled.
Hello there, this is Jarrett Boffman, Vice President of Cryptido Self-Defense and Fitness for the Disabled, a pending 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our mission is to educate the disabled community on independence, fitness, and self-defense. Paul Brailer, the founder of Cryptido, was the near victim of a mugging several years back. It was his self-defense skills that saved him. Paul said, "I was able to defend myself. The mugger fled from him, leaving him safe and with his belongings." It also led Paul to want to start this nonprofit organization. Paul has had many friends pass away from being inactive and not healthy. Through Cryptido and motivational speaking, Paul hopes to inspire others to be safe, to be active, and to keep working on becoming their personal best. Paul eventually wants Cryptido to turn into a YMCA for handicapped people. He envisions Cryptido as a place offering adaptive exercise equipment and classes in fitness and martial arts for disabled people. Please go check out our site at www.cryptido.com. And as always, Cryptido fans rock. Thanks for listening.
I know I posted on Facebook that I was going to sue Comedy Central, and one of my problems is that I don't know how to tell a joke and make it so that people know I'm joking. I'm not going to sue Comedy Central, but I think everyone thought it was real. And people were expressing a lot of support and, you know, like emotional support. I'm like, no, that was another failed joke on Facebook.
And I totally knew it was a joke because you're not stupid. And if you were in a heated lawsuit, you wouldn't be talking about it on Facebook.
Right. Exactly. Like, I thought that, hey, taking a community poll, should I sue Comedy Central? I thought that would sound so outrageous no one would believe it was possibly true. And yet people just basically lashed out with their support. I was like, stop, you're hurting me with your love. Get away from me. Here's what happened. Caitlin and I got a grant from the Regional Arts and Culture Council to make a project that we are calling Disability on Film. It's basically, you know, peer-created, CRIP-created, high-quality movie stuff. Because there's a lot of media created by non-disabled people, and we're mostly tired of that. We got a grant to do this Disability on Film, and Caitlin and I have made satirical work before. Our best known one is our PSA called Your Daily Dosage of Inspiration, which is highly uninspiring. Okay, so Caitlin and I made that satire, and we have a lot of different pieces that are going to become the pieces of Disability on Film, but the big one we're working on right now is called The Gab, and it is a talk show hosted by three disabled women. And that's me, Caitlin Wood, and LaVon Heaster. We've done a ton of writing. We had a bunch of meetings. We've even filmed some of the guest segments. In fact, you are supposed to be a guest segment.
I can't
wait. Well, okay. You are going to be a guest in a guest segment. You won't be the segment. I mean, because you're a person.
Right.
Well, no, I'm just going to say you're the segment. I was in a documentary filmmaking class in the spring term, and I made the making of The Gab. And I made a behind-the-scenes short documentary chronicling this process of making The Gab. And because we're on Crip time, we still haven't made The Gab, even though I finished the documentary 3 months ago. So we've already got it. We had a little, you know, temporary logo. That film is on Vimeo and YouTube. It's out there. Nobody's watched it because it's not very good. But Making the Gab is out there. And just the other day, my partner very sadly pointed out that Amy Schumer, who I think is very, very ableist but very funny, on her comedy show, she did a satirical talk show with three hosts called The Gab. I was like, no. And it's a satire, and ours is supposed to be a satire. And there was one character who everybody hated what she said, and that's supposed to be my character. I'm going to be this character everybody hates what I said. Like, I mean, it was so similar to what we want to do. There were even little segments in it that were so similar. And I got really, really upset that if we were to proceed exactly as planned, that Comedy Central would sue us. But the making of The Gab, there is evidence that the Making of The Gab documentary was released well before Amy Schumer's The Gab was released. So I didn't steal it from them. I might still rename it anyway, but that's where the Comedy Central controversy came in. But then my friend Carol Zoom, oh, do you know Carol Zoom?
I don't, but I saw the comments she left, and she is brilliant.
You know what? Just Facebook or email her and say, you rock, let's get it on. Like, just do that.
I do that.
Carol Zoom is the zoomiest. She is the best. Carol's idea was brilliant. You know what? Embrace this. Call Amy Schumer. Tell her what happened. See if she'll interview you. So that is an approach that I would love to pursue. Be like, Amy Schumer, I challenge you to an interview. It would be her. Have you seen her show and her interviews?
Yeah, I have not.
They are so funny. You can check out her show. I don't remember if it's on Hulu or Netflix, but it's streaming. And she always does a little interview segment, and she just manages to get all the quintessentially most awkward things possible into every single interview, and they are utterly brilliant. And she's totally deadpan and horribly inappropriate. And so I would give my left tit to be on interview by Amy Schumer, and especially if we had like an interview duel. All right, who gets to do The Gab for real? So that's my dream.
Right. That sounds like a good idea and a more positive way to approach the situation.
Yes.
So then you're not just another angry disabled person, you know?
It's so funny because I hate that stereotype of the angry disabled person, especially because so much of the time nobody's even expressing anger. You're just like, I need a rant. Ah, I'm so angry. But my problem is, I have some emotional control issues, and I can be an angry disabled person. Like, there's this, I do some part-time work for, how should I put where it is? I actually, for the medical school here in town, I actually do a little bit of part-time work in research for them. I'm not allowed to ever contact payroll if I have any questions.
Oh, that's funny.
Because I was just indescribably nasty to the payroll specialist I was emailing with, but she was being terrible. She was awful and unaccommodating, and I lost my shit and just, I don't know how many new ones I ripped. And finally, they're like, Cheryl, when you have payroll questions, you take them to the office manager, and she will contact payroll for you. And I was like, oh, okay, no problem. Sorry about that. Yeah, so I can be quite the angry disabled person, but I can also just be an angry person. Like, we should, right? It's not always, like we were saying before, it's not always, your disability is there's nothing else about you besides your disability. Everything is your disability.
Right. That's an excuse for everything.
Can I tell you something that I hate?
Yes.
Yeah, I hate when people say, she's great because she doesn't let her disability define her.
That makes me vomit on people's faces who say that. They're actually more like on their feet because I'm not tall enough to vomit on their face.
You're like, quick, kneel down. Hold on your face. I hate that because that's more that ableist, microaggressive crap. There is nothing wrong with being defined by your disability or being partially defined by your disability. People on the outside, people, non-disabled people, just see disability so negative that if you're like, hey, hey, I got a disability identity. Oh, how sad. No! What's up, identity police? Why do you get to tell people what defines them? Anyway.
See, what you don't understand is the only disability is a bad attitude.
Well, then I'm cripple of the century. Yeah, Jane, where are your blade legs? Why don't you get running like that little three-year-old girl who was running with Oscar Pistorius in that poster? We didn't even know she was running. Come on.
I know. It's sick.
It's sick. So objectifying. But I think there's nothing inherently wrong with saying my life and my identity are defined or partially defined by my impairment or the fact that the rest of the world is disabling me with their shitty attitudes and barriers and obstacles. That is defining my life. How am I supposed to get away from that?
Right, right. I mean, dealing with outside circumstances, people, you know, physical structures, is far more disabling oftentimes than my actual disability.
Yeah, of course. Of course, it makes perfect sense to me, and I'm not sure why it's taking eternity for more people to recognize. Yeah, but it's a balance because I want them to recognize that, but I don't want them to go, "You're not disabled, you're just different," because that's not helpful either.
Right.
Because when they do that, they're still saying, "I'm normal, and you're the different one."
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say, we're all different, they still usually mean all y'all over there with an impairment are different.
Right.
And fuck PC language. Fuck that bullshit.
What is more important to you? For someone to be politically correct or for someone to be respectful?
As a left-wing person,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I'm floored by that question because it's so sad that you have to ask it.
I know. It kind of made me throw up in my mouth a little bit, see?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, that's gorgeous. Can you get it through the webcam? Throw it on my face. I can hear the chunks.
Because, a lot of PC terms, I hate them. Don't use them in talking to me or in describing me.
Because they're not inherently respectful.
Right.
And what I hear people say, oh, well, I guess we have to be politically correct here. And I think, oh, how sad. What a burden that is for you. Oh, boo-hoo you. No, let's just be respectful. And I know it's more work for you, and that makes me very, very sad for you. How hard your life is. Because, I mean, I'm being facetious here, it does make things harder and more complicated, but why is that inherently a problem?
Right.
Like, and why do some people, okay, fine, you're off the hook. You can just have it easy and I'll have it hard. Ashley Bernard and Lawrence Carter Long and Nikki Zimmerman and I did a streaming radio show on Out of Step about politically correct language. I don't know if you heard that.
Nah.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. It's on the Out of Step tool, and you can find it on YouTube or I can send you a link. But it's pretty funny, and it's really nice hearing Ashley and Lawrence. Do you know Ashley Bernard?
Yeah, I know Lawrence.
Yeah, everybody knows Lawrence. Ashley has this great campaign called Say the Word to End the Word.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, to get rid of the M word.
Right, right. Whenever I see these campaigns, and I have been scolded by other disabled people, and they're like, oh, don't say this word and that word, and I'm like, that fucking word. If you don't say it, how am I supposed to know I'm not supposed to say it?
Midget, the M word.
Yes, and I use it. I do. But I don't use it when describing or addressing a person who I know doesn't like it. Which comes back to, you know, for me, I'd rather respect an individual person's choice, because for people, to tell me how they want to be addressed. But, like, yeah. Bridget the Midget, I think she's fucking awesome. She's my Facebook friend. We've chatted. And she does not get enough credit for transitioning from adult movies to mainstream movies. I just had to get that off my chest.
Please do. Yeah, take everything off your chest.
You know what I am? I'm just there. It's AF my chest.
Is that Bob?
This is Bob. Is on my left boob.
Oh my God, look,
which means I am flashing her my boobs.
You are, and you know what? I'm not shocked because I already saw you get both your boobs pierced in your documentary.
See, you didn't close your eyes? Congratulations.
No, I was like, ooh. Jane Hash, I have been doing interviews for so long, and I have never been so honored. No one has ever flashed their tits at me. I'm like...
I'm so glad I could be your first.
You are my first.
Yes. Or maybe it'll catch on.
Yeah. And this dress doesn't calm down.
At least you don't have pants on, so...
I don't have any pants on.
See? So, you know, it balances out.
Okay, let me show you my tattoo.
Oh, that's clear.
So hold still there. So I used to be in this all-female synchronized bike dancing team, and that called the Sprockettes, and that was our logo, the little bike chain ring.
Nice.
Handlebars? Yeah.
You know, for a minute there, your microphone kind of looked like a dildo.
What's that?
Your microphone that you were using to point your tattoo kind of looked like a vibrator.
Oh, no, that was my vibrator. I'm talking to my vibrator. I have a microphone attached to the computer. Because I knew I was going to be talking to you today. So I was like, best get out all the dildos.
And you even shaved your legs for me. Thanks.
Oh, I didn't. You know what? I'm kind of hairless. I did not, however, get my twat waxed for you.
You know, that is highly overrated. I do not recommend it. You saw that in the movie too, didn't you?
I did, and I did close my eyes to stop watching. They involuntarily slammed shut. Like, ouch!
Oh, that was painful. So enough about my vagina. Is there any other project that you would like to promote?
I'm still thinking about the way you flashed your hot boobs at me. Okay. I'd like to promote Jane Hash's bosom. I feel so bad that you chose to. I didn't make you do
that. Well, yeah, you don't have to. It's like, it's not mandatory for any of my guests to show me their boobs. I mean, it has happened, you know. Yeah. But, you know, it's just an occupational hazard. Tits happen.
Do you flash all your guests?
No. I think you're my second, because when I had the guest that flashed me her tits, I felt, as the host, I was obligated to, you know, reciprocate.
Oh, my God. You are so generous. And you are respectful. You know, giving back, you know. Here's the thing. It's not do unto others as you would have done unto you. It's do unto others as they would have. I can't get it out. But I was just thinking about you calling somebody what they want to be called, identifying someone how they want to be identified, giving someone what they ask to be given when you can. It's not about giving people what you want. It's about giving people what they
want me to see their tits, great. If they don't, that's fine.
You're not the tit police.
Exactly.
Quick, call the tit police. Quick.
How did we get here?
I don't remember why you flashed me. So you asked me if there's anything else I'd like to promote.
Yes.
And I think that right now the main thing is getting interest in the documentary and getting sponsorship and funding for the documentary. And honestly, I would like to do more projects like the short film project that I did with the three people, where I'm working one-on-one with digital storytelling, because to me, it's about access. Mm-hmm. I have access, I have the resources, I have the technology, I have access to filmmaking, and I would like to provide more people who want that access. I'd like to provide them that access. So it's not about me speaking for them, but saying, here, I can mentor you through whatever steps you don't already know, and I will lend you my equipment. We did all the films on a tablet.
So it came out
looking ridiculous, but it was totally accessible. And here, I'll just set my tablet up there and film a movie. I want, Narcel Redis is a filmmaker who argues that there is too much of a divide between the people who make media and the people who consume media. And that groups of people who are consuming at a high rate but not making any need to start making media in whatever form that takes. And I do believe that includes the disability community, all segments of it.
Yes.
All segments of disability community. That would be the big thing. I'd like more opportunities to do that kind of one-on-one filmmaking project. It requires funding. That's why I'm not doing any more of it right now. I don't have, a fund to do it. So if somebody wants to sponsor that, hey, you can do that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I've had too much fun during this
interview. I'm so sorry. Do you want to redo the interview?
I think we're going to have to start over. Send me any materials that you want included.
Okay.
If you want to send me a picture of your tits to put on there, that's cool. If not, that's all right.
I'm so boring, Jane. I'm really boring. I don't have a single picture of my tits.
I only had one tit picture on there, and it was for medical, holistic research.
Yeah, this is for research.
Right. You can get away with a lot of shit when you call it research. But anyway, I have had a blast chatting with you, and I think it's going to happen again. I think you're going to have to come back, and especially after your movie goes to festivals, and we have to talk about how successful it was.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. And Jane, I'd like to ask you if you want to be on my radio show / podcast. It would be so... I would love to have you on to talk about your documentary and...
I'd love it. I'll even keep all my clothes on.
It's all audio, so whatever makes you comfortable.
You are so accommodating.
I take pride in that. I try. And it's so funny that I didn't know that was Bob's head until you pointed
it out. Yeah. You know why I have my cat's head tattooed on my boob? You're going to love this. Many years ago, I was in my early 20s, and I had accepted myself and started feeling empowered finally and started attending clothes optional events. And just for me to express that I was happy with my unique physical form, I had the word freak tattooed on my boob. And I loved it. It was fantastic. And then, 10 years later, I lost 17 pounds. Which doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're 2'7", 17 pounds is a lot.
Yeah.
And freak turned into Frank. Are you breathing? Are you okay? And my significant other's name is not Frank. I really don't even know a Frank, that I hang out with on a daily basis. It just seemed inappropriate to go through life with Frank on my titty. I don't even eat hot dogs. So I needed to get a big enough tattoo to cover Frank. So, and it is over my heart, and I love my kitty, so Bob's head is on my tit forever.
I love that. And I mean, you've just got this little pussy just peeking out of your clothes.
I know, just it's so cute pussy. When I wear tops like this, and like he's peeking out, like, looks like he's gonna jump out.
He's like, I got a secret. There's a secret in here, you're gonna love it. But you can't come in because I'm a cat and I'll claw your face off.
Exactly. Oh my god, this has been fun. I love you. I'm gonna wrap this up. Thank you for hashing it out with me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's a real pleasure and a real honor. I've been listening to your podcast for a long time, and it's just been super exciting to get to know you and get to be on your show.
For more information about topics and people discussed in this episode, visit my blog at hashitoutwithjourney.blogspot.com. If you have any comments, questions, or you just want to tell me how amazing I am, send me an email at hashitoutwithjourney@gmail.com.